here in the Odyssey Palace. 97.3 The Fan. Sam Levitt was just caught eating a salad, like getting to the bottom of the salad too. It was like really good. It was like one of those where you have to get to the bottom and you have to like scoop everything out and just hope nothing falls all over your face as you're eating. Is your microphone on? Oh, it's not, because he's still chewing. Okay, well, we are in the Sammy and Spraggy show. He's back. People are asking about these new commercial break videos I have, and one of them I played already, Sam, but it was a trip that Chris, Tony, and I took to Cooperstown, New York in 2019 for Trevor Hoffman's induction. Now, we were hired, and then immediately they were like, hey, we're paying for you guys to go on this trip to Cooperstown. So Chris and I knew each other for maybe like 6 to 7 months. And we went on this trip, but I put together a little video of Chris giving us a tour through Cooperstown. And Chris, at the time, was playing Woe Is Me, Nobody Knows Who I Am. He was like, literally, no one cares who I am here. You know, like baseball people. And then these listeners come around the corner, and they go, oh my God, is that Chris Ello? And these people are like basically worshiping the ground that Chris walks on. And it was hilarious because he had just gotten done saying, no one knows who I am. And then these people in Cooperstown, New York are like, we used to listen to you every day. It was just great. It was great. But I have some of those videos in there. Have you ever been to Cooperstown, Sam?
I have, multiple times.
I don't know if I would go multiple times, but I think it's really fun to go to.
It's great. It's the Hall of Fame's great. The town around it is really great and cute. It's also just a beautiful area. I mean, upstate New York, if you go at the right time of year, fall, summer, it's a really, really beautiful area. So I would encourage any baseball fan, even those living in San Diego, our listening audience, I assume many of you have not been to Cooperstown. I would highly suggest one day you find a way to make the trip, because it is really cool. It's a great town, great Hall of Fame, and beautiful, beautiful area if you go at the right time of year.
Have you ever heard of the – I don't know if you've ever heard this story.
Actually, the last time I was there, I went to a wedding in Cooperstown.
Wow.
Yep, that was
– baseball fans?
No, that was the fall of 21.
Okay.
Fall of 21. Mm-hmm.
It's a very hard to get destination for a wedding because.
Well, but yes, but these people were in New York.
Of course.
You know, not the craziest idea.
Have you ever heard the story where Tony got us a free tour with one of the historians at Cooperstown to all the stuff that you can't see on the floor? So we were walking
really
around, like Roberto Clemente's 3,000th hit bat. I wouldn't even touch it because I didn't want to break it. And Tony went into, there's this whole room where they had all these Tony Gwynn bats, and Tony would look through them all, and then he pulls out a bat and he'll be like, oh yeah, this is fall 1999. Wow. Type of thing, because he knew all the different bats. But what I will never forget is the shot heard around the world, that huge home run back in the day. Was it? Yeah, it was a home run, right? Back in the day, between the Dodgers and the Giants. And so the shot heard around the world happened. They had the original scorecard from that. And Chris is just sitting there looking at the scorecard and just taking it in. And then he goes to the historian, did you realize there's a mistake in this scorecard? And the historian's like, no, there's no mistake. We've checked this thing many times. And then Chris goes, off the top of his head, he's like, this guy didn't bat here, this guy batted here. And the and then he like did some other things, and the historian's face like went red, because he's like, we've never realized this mistake before. The guy was so excited about the shot heard around the world, the score, he didn't even finish scoring the game. He just kind of like got up and left. So I thought it was great. Of course, Chris would find something on that. But yeah, you're right. Cooperstown, definitely find a time once in your life.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised to hear that they have stuff that they don't necessarily display, or that maybe the displays change over time, because, you know, they're always getting stuff. They're always sending things to Cooperstown. It's
all
not like every piece of memorabilia is it was out on display for the public, so that's cool. Very, very cool.
It was pretty fun. All right. With that in mind, it's time for the Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. I'm trying to find what is happening in the Aztecs women's game right now, but I don't know that the game has started, so we will keep looking for that. But otherwise, we made a bunch of bets on Friday, and I had a pretty good week. And I think my week is going to get even better. Because the first bet was Loyola Marymount. They were playing, I believe, USD on Friday. Loyola minus 7.5 on the spread. Chris and I chose Loyola. Loyola won big. 174. Boise State and Colorado State from over the weekend. Boise State minus 5.5 on the spread. We both chose Boise State. We got that one right. They won 83-73. Now, the UCLA women took on Nebraska. And the women were minus 15.5 on the point spread, UCLA. I picked Nebraska. Chris chose UCLA. 85-74 UCLA won by, which is not enough, so I win that bet. Clippers, 7-point favorite over the Knicks over the weekend. Chris chose Knicks. I chose Clippers. Clippers win by 10. I win again. Cavs, minus 16 on the spread at the Hornets on Friday. Well, this is when my streak comes to an end, because Chris chose the Hornets, I chose the Cavs. The Cavs did win, but they only won by 1 point, 118-117. And then Celtics, minus 6 on the spread against the Lakers. Now, LeBron James, who's had an incredible stretch here in the last, like, 2-3 weeks, LeBron has hurt himself, and he will be out up to 2 weeks. I believe it's a groin injury, and he did this during the game. Chris chose the Celtics. I chose the Lakers. Celtics win by 10. And then finally, Winnipeg Jets, minus 1.5 on the puck line at the New Jersey Devils. Both of us chose the Jets, and the Jets won 6-1. So I went 5-1, I believe, in that. Or 5-2. 5-2. All right. So, Sam, the West Coast Conference is happening right now. My USF Dons made it.
When is the West Coast Conference not happening?
Good question, Sam. I don't know. It's always happening. This is good. That's the play-by-play guy from USF from years ago when they played in the tournament. But West Coast Conference, it's going to be Gonzaga and San Francisco tonight for a trip. It's a quarterfinal, so they're still trying to win the West Coast. San Francisco is. Gonzaga, 14.5-point favorite. This will be the third time these two teams have played. I will go first, and I'm going to choose my USF Dons. 14.5 is a lot.
Yeah, I'll take Gonzaga to win, but the Dons to cover. So all give right, me the Dons. Good.
Just
give
got
me the Matt Scraby fighting Dons.
Thank you. Just got a news alert that
over Alec, but Alec Jacobs, Gonzaga Bulldogs are going to win.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You didn't know that, Yankee, but that's fine.
Okay, Yankees ace Garrett Cole will undergo Tommy John surgery and miss all of 2025. So there's that. Ben Higgins also texted me. Carlos deep beat Boise. Everything I said about that.
God, Ben Higgins is all over this show today.
You know, I honestly check. Like, I'm not mad at Ben because he should text me and tell me that I got it wrong, but I'm mad at myself because I check these things, and I don't know how I keep getting it wrong. It's very annoying to me. Very, very annoying to me. Also, Ben came up with this great golf game that Chris and Ben and I are going to play for betting. So we're going to get to all the rules down like that down the road. But I really don't have many bets for you tonight, Sam. There's not much going on, for me at least, in the betting world. NBA
That's
is
it.
A miss. San Francisco.
I think OKC and Denver play again tonight.
Great. I get it. It's a big deal. I mean, Jokic.
Well, I don't understand. I mean, we need something to talk about for the next 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh, so you want to break down every single angle of OKC?
No, I'll give you the NBA schedule tonight right now. You ready?
I see. It's a full slate. I see.
You ready? 76ers and the Hawks. 76ers have had a miserable season. Hawks battling for play-in position. Jazz and the Celtics. Celtics coming off a big win against the LA Lakers. Convincing second half. Lakers and the Nets. Luka alone without LeBron.
Alone.
Missing a week or two. Trying to bounce back after a loss to the Celtics in Boston. Hornets at the Heat. The middling Heat. Not much to say about that one, folks.
No, no.
Wizards and the Raptors in Toronto.
Not much to say about that one, folks.
Not much to say about that one, folks. Pacers and the Bulls. Not much to say about that one, folks.
Thank you. Orlando.
Nuggets and Thunder playing for a second straight night to the best teams in the Western Conference. What will SGA do on the floor against Nikola Jokic?
Are you,
and the Denver Nuggets.
Are you auditioning for a national radio job right now? Is that what's going on with all of this?
And finally, we have the Spurs and the Mavericks in San Antonio tonight, 5:30.
You know, I wish I had that delivery, because if I try to sound serious, it sounds
like
I'm
making a
joke. We also
do have the Jalen Brunson-less Knicks in Sacramento against the Kings.
Here's a question for you, Sam. Nikola Jokic, on... Over the weekend, they played the Suns. They won in OT 149-141. He had 31 points, 21 rebounds,
yes,
and 22 assists.
NBA record, yes.
NBA record. This dude is going to win the MVP once again. He's unstoppable in the MVP realm. He's averaging 20. I'm rounding up. 29,
yeah, we'll see.
13,
I don't know. Who is the betting favorite? Is it Jokic or is it SGA?
Let me see.
Tell me that, Scraby.
Let me see.
Pull up your trusty numbers.
I will.
Who's the favorite? Who's the odds-on favorite?
I was seeing a whole... Right now, they're saying it is SGA still. But
Nikola, how do you say his name, Scraby?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
There you go. Good job.
Yeah, you're trying to get me, and you're not going to. Chris can't say that name. But Jokic is like... I don't know. He just puts up such good numbers all the time. Like... He's doing things that haven't been done in NBA history. How does he not just keep winning the MVP? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's great. Thunder are great. But SGA is not doing what Jokic is doing.
And finally, we have the Trailblazers in the Bay against the Warriors. Will the Warriors falter at home, or will it be night-night for the Blazers? Tune in tonight at 7 p.m.
He even got the night-night in there like Steph Curry. Love it. Love it. All right, that's it for the Daily Gambit. When we get back, we have so much NFL news to cover. There have been so many trades. There have been signings today. Miles Garrett.
Justin Fields, the Jet.
Justin
Fields. Lead the Jets to their first Super Bowl title in many, many decades.
Yeah, keep waiting on that one. Also, Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold, no longer a Vikings quarterback. We'll explain... When we get back here on 97.3 The Fan, first, some traffic. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store on everything for your business. And right now at Staples, save up to $250 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends April 5th, plus save even more with the Easy Rewards program at Staples. Sammy and Scraby filling in for Gwen and Chris today. Tony will be back tomorrow. He should be back tomorrow, well, after the game, so we'll see how the game goes and what time he gets back. Chris, if the Aztecs women lose, he's coming home. If they win, he's staying in Vegas one more day, but the game is a little bit later tomorrow night, so he will be on the show for a little bit, and we'll deal with that as it comes. But this NFL news is huge, and we're going to get to it in a second. But this Gerrit Cole news is huge as well, because Gerrit Cole is going to be out for the year, and he's going to get Tommy John surgery. Now, I was reading in the break, I forgot that he had opted out of his contract, but then kind of opted back in, and so the Yankees would have had, if he opted out traditionally, the Yankees would have had to add an extra deal to the, or extra year to the end of his deal, but they didn't do that. It was like he never ended up opting out or even had the opt-out. So he doesn't get that extra year, and he's going to have Tommy John surgery. The Yankees do have insurance on his contract, which is the smart thing to do. But this is a big deal for Gerrit Cole, because he could have had an extra year. Yeah, I think this is something that Yankees fans are going to be talking about for a little bit.
I mean, yeah, it's horrible news for the Yankees and for Cole, and it's a huge blow to their season and a team that's trying to defend an American League pennant. So it's unfortunate. Look, you don't want the game's best players to go through season-ending injuries. And look, Gerrit Cole's going to be out the rest of this year, and I don't know what the timeline is, but, I mean, 12 months from now would be...
Right around now.
You know, it would be right before next season, obviously. So I would assume he's probably going to miss some of 26 as well. That's not for sure, but it will be close, I would think, as to whether he's going to be ready opening day 26. So it's unfortunate, and Yankees dealt a big-time blow. I mean, one of the best pitchers in the game when he's healthy and going right.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll keep up to date on that. But now,
and like we said,
sorry, the NFL music.
Let's chill on the NFL music. I'm not done talking about Gerrit Cole here.
Oh, okay. I thought you were, but yes, let's go into that, Sam. Let's go.
No, but I think to your point earlier, Matt Scraby.
Yes,
it's the first time I've called you Matt.
It's
ever.
Weird. Yeah.
To your point earlier, it will be interesting to see if the Yankees react now without Cole. I mean, without Heel, without Cole, that rotation is in a much, much tougher spot. And if you're a team in the Yankees that wants to compete for an American League East title, I mean, Red Sox are better. Orioles are really good. Blue Jays, we'll see what they do. Red Sox, you know, I already said them,
Did you say the Red Sox yet?
So. I did. Red Sox, Orioles, Blue Jays, Yankees, Rays. I was like blanking on the fifth team in the AL East.
No one thinks about the Rays anyway. So,
Rays are usually at least pretty good.
That's true.
So we'll see. But you would think that they're out there looking for pitching potentially, and that leads us back to the two guys that are. Going to be free agents at the end of the year and Season King. I think that would be a huge blow to the Padres and their plans in 25 and their current team 2 weeks away from opening day. But again, like we said earlier, if you're Yankees GM Brian Cashman, I am 100% calling AJ Preller and saying what would get it done. And I guess the question is, would there be a deal to be made that would be attractive enough for the Padres to pull off something like that and move, somebody like a Sir King. I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. I don't hope it happens, but I would be shocked if that conversation is not something that is at least being broached by the New York Yankees, because I just don't see how you lose Cole and you're a team coming off an American League pennant and you claim that you have World Series aspirations and you lose your ace and you don't do anything about it. That would seem like malpractice to me.
Yeah, malpractice is the word for a general manager if you're not going to address something like this. They didn't bring back Nestor Cortes, so they had kind of an exodus of their pitching.
They traded him for Devin Williams.
Okay, there you go. Oh, that's even better.
They got Devin Williams.
I mean, Devin Williams makes everything better when you trade away Nestor Cortes, but it's very interesting. And like you said, I said it earlier, I don't think anything's going to happen, but you never know. You never know with Mr. AJ Preller. I don't really want to talk about the NFL anymore, so I think we don't have enough time. I'll just quickly go over everything.
Well, hold on. When do we go to break with this segment?
2 minutes.
All right. You want to say, we're talking to Chris Weehan next,
here,
right?
I'm going to go over some of this stuff kind of quick.
What's at 4 o'clock?
Ooh, NFL talk, because we're not doing Chris versus the fans today, so that's a good
place.
Here
we go. We'll talk about we'll really get into the NFL at 4, but yes, go ahead.
Okay, because you know, your Jets did sign Justin Fields to a 2-year $40 million.
Justin Fields, baby.
Yeah.
MVP season incoming, finally going to get his big-time opportunity. He was in a mess in Chicago. He, wasn't given the right opportunity in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, finally, he goes to a prestigious organization like the New York Jets, a track record of success, a track record of stability, and Justin Fields will thrive under the infrastructure of the New York football Jets.
That's a very old and decrepit infrastructure at this point. I'm sorry to say. And can we also stop this whole thing, Sam? Because, you know, Aaron Rodgers was your quarterback the last couple years. But I've seen on social media, I don't know why, like, NFL on Fox puts up a picture of Aaron Rodgers in a Giants uniform with Malik Nabers. And then on the bottom it says, who says no to this combo? I mean, 100 million people say no to that combo. Why are we
Aaron
asking, like,
Rodgers and Malik Nabers are going to be a problem.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's like no one asked for Aaron Rodgers and Malik Nabers to be
paired. Wait, who did Sam Darnold sign with?
Oh, he signed with the Seahawks, actually. So he's going to replace Geno
DK
Smith.
Metcalf. Who's the Seahawks' best receiver now? Probably Lockett. He's still Seahawks,
no,
right?
No. Lockett's gone. Lockett's
old. Tyler Lockett's gone?
No, it's Jackson Smith and Jigba is very
good. Oh, right. Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yeah, he's very good. But
Sam Darnold and Jackson Smith and Jigba are going to be a problem.
We got all the voiceover here on 97.3 The Fan today. I don't know why we just don't pay you to be the station voice. I mean, that would kind of be
confusing. Should say that. They should say that about, like, radio hosts.
What?
Oh, you're going to put Sammy and Scraby together? 2-6? Oh, Sammy and Scraby, they're going to be a problem.
I think people definitely still comment on whether or not Sammy and Scraby would ever be a thing. But it is today, Sam. It is today. As you could tell, Sam has been in spring training, I think, a little too long. I think he's starting to lose his mind as we slowly go through spring training. Padres diehard says, I guess
anyway, we'll talk more about the NFL at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
We'll really talk about it. We'll give it a good go.
Padres diehard said, I guess anyone who has to spend a significant amount of time with Scraby gets like this. You know, I invite it. I invite it. I want everybody's unique performances on the Gwen and Chris show. Okay. Got to take out the NFL music real quick. Hold on. It's still playing, Sam. Just got to make sure.
Fields and Garrett Wilson. They're going to be a problem.
That might actually be a problem.
Maybe.
You know what's not going to be a problem?
You know what? I think Justin Fields has something in him.
Yeah, I do too. And like you said, we'll talk about it at 4 o'clock. But up next, it's not football, it's football. We're talking STFC,
good job,
baby.
Scraby. I like that.
Chris Wehan joins us next on 97.3 The Fan. Sammy and Scraby rocking out to this rejoin bed. I have to say, Sam, this is music made by our listeners. Dispersed.
Really?
Yes. They asked me to listen to some of their music years and years ago. I love this sort of music. And so asked them to send me the instrumental. They said, okay, here we go. And now nice. It plays in the rejoin bed. So Dispersed.
Well, listeners, don't send me your music because I want to play my own during my rejoins in pre and post.
You know, I was shuffling on my Spotify over the weekend and Skater Boy came up on my shuffle, and I thought about you, Sam.
I used that song, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is so strange that you, of all people, in a Padres pregame, postgame show, use Skater Boy as a rejoin song.
It's a great song.
It's not a great song.
He was a boy, she was a girl.
Can I make it any more obvious? I've been living, and I think this is how people get around my age. I'm 39, almost 40. I've been living in music from, like, yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
Rough.
I've been living in music from high school and college, and I'm that old guy now is like, oh, man, music just wasn't as good as it was back in the day.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm getting like that. I am.
Skater Boy, though,
like that.
On the top of the
list.
You
know what it is? I notice myself listening to I notice myself not being as up on new releases and much more into, I know what I like.
Yeah.
I know the artists, the eras of those artists that I like, that I enjoy. I kind of know what I go to.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. Because there's a lot of new music every single day. But I'm also listening to this podcast right now that is awesome. So we talked about it the last time you were on the show, but those text messages that come in like, hey, are we still on for dinner? Well, this podcast called Scam Factory tells a story of how these things happen and how some of these people who are scamming you kind of get kidnapped and taken against their will, and then they have to work in these scam factories for
that's not good.
They have to like try and scam like $2,000 worth of money a day from people. Anyway, it's called Scam Factory. It's pretty good, but that's where those texts are coming from.
Doesn't sound like something I want to listen to.
You should, because then you'll know what's going to happen if someone texts you and says, "Hey, are we on for dinner?" And then you're like, "I don't know who this is, but yeah, sure, let's go to dinner." And then you're scammed. Boom. Then it's over. You're going to be shipped off to Myanmar, and you're going to be there forever. That's what's going to happen, Sam. We're going to talk to Chris Wehan here in just a second. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spirocuisine.com. So, SDFC, we got a couple minutes before we go to traffic. I'm waiting for it to be ready. Played Real Salt Lake on Saturday night. They ended up winning 3-1. I was looking at the table, and the table tells me that 7 points is what SDFC has accrued so far through three games this season, which is second place in the Western Division. They're 2-0-1. So for me, seriously, probably a better start than I expected them to have. I didn't know what to expect.
Trailing only Vancouver in the Western Conference table.
Yeah, Vancouver's really good this year, I've heard.
And how about this? Taking a gander here at the Western Conference table. I mean, San Diego FC, they've given up one goal. And
Saturday.
Minnesota's given up one. St. Louis has given up none. That's the weird part about football, or soccer, as us Americans call it. St. Louis City, right, who San Diego FC played, they've not given up a goal, but they only have 5 points. And San Diego FC has given up a goal, and they have 7.
But they also have 2 wins.
Right.
And 1 draw.
Right.
So, you know what? Why don't we bring on the former MLS player to help us break down what happened over the weekend with SDFC after traffic.
Join us here in a moment. Matt Scraby doing a great job of getting Chris on the phone.
There we go.
And I'll tell you this. I think Chris and I were like best friends at this point, because we talked to Chris on Friday when I was filling in for Woodsy. And now we're talking to Chris here on 97.3 The Fan on a Monday afternoon. Sammy and Scraby. Sam Levitt filling in. Scraby here. And getting ready to talk about San Diego FC with Chris Wehan, Scrabe.
Yes, former MLS player Chris Wehan. He's a local guy as well, so I'm happy to have you on the show and happy to have you help us break down everything that happened over the weekend. But 7 points, we were just talking about the table right now, Chris, and 7 points is second in the Western Conference. So is there a quick way you could break down the point and how much we need to be paying attention to the points in the table?
Yeah, I think it's obviously the number one stat you need to look at with the table. I would say San Diego, looking at 7 points, if someone would have said, hey, before the season, you guys can take 7 points out of your first three, I think absolutely Mikey Vargas and the team would have taken that for sure. It's a great place to be right now.
Chris, let's talk about, and I think on Friday we focused mainly on the offensive strategy for San Diego FC over their first two matches. But let's talk about what they've done defensively, because, you know, looking at the league right now, looking at the Western Conference table, they've given up one goal. I mean, over their first three matches, what has stood out to you about what San Diego FC has done on the defensive side so far through these three matches?
Yeah, I think obviously defensively they've been very strong, but I think, of course, credit goes to the back line. However, for me, I think the biggest thing that is setting San Diego apart are their three midfielders, Anibal Godoy, Jeppe Svechnikov. I feel like I'm going to mess that up, but and Luca De La Torre.
That's pretty good.
That's okay.
Luca De La Torre, those three for me are the workhorse in for the team, and they're covering so much ground right now. And I really think it's a collective effort. I think they're playing a very pressing style of play. They're pressing the opponent. And that really starts with the front group as well as the midfield. And so I think, yes, their back line and their goalkeeper are playing fantastic right now. But for me, it's those three in the midfield that are kind of setting them apart and really making them a team to be reckoned with in the MLS.
Chris, let's talk a little bit more about midfield, because I asked you something similar, you know, kind of a similar follow-up on Friday, where, you know, I think a lot of us, Scraby and I included, but a lot of our listeners are still getting to know soccer, you know, at a comprehensive level, as now we have a, you know, an MLS team to watch and follow. What does a good, solid midfield typically provide for a team as a whole, both offensively and defensively? Explain why the midfield is so important.
Yeah, it's really going to be your link-up play. So, you know, everything's going to go through the midfield. And if your team's playing well, then your midfielders are getting on the ball a lot. And like I said, the way San Diego's playing, they're asking a lot of their midfielders on both sides of the ball. They're asking for them to, you know, press to get forward. And San Diego's playing a 4-3-3 shape, so they're really playing with three midfielders. And they're playing them very centrally. And most teams will play with four midfielders across, two center mids and two outside mids. So because they're playing in that 4-3-3 shape, those three midfielders are having to cover a lot of ground because they're essentially down a man, as opposed to the traditional 4-4-2 shape with four midfielders. And because of that, you know, those three have really stood out to me. And so they're doing a lot of the work defensively. You know, they're not in a good midfield is not, you know, is really tight, really compact, not allowing a lot of balls to be played through them. And that's what those three are doing really well. They're keeping the defense from having to be isolated a lot with the opponent's attack. And those three for me are, and then on top of that, when they get in on the ball, Anibal Godoy with his left foot, it's been fantastic linking up play. And Luca De La Torre, he is really an attacking midfielder at heart. And so anytime that he can get into the attack, he's been fantastic in linking up play. So those three for me are really setting the standard for what midfielders should be like.
We're talking to Chris Wehan, former MLS player here, about SDFC on 97.3, the Fan, Sammy and Scraby. And I just want to talk a little bit about the head coach, Mikey Varas. And Mikey Varas is someone who, you know, I didn't know much about coming in as after he was named head coach, and then I started learning about him. But it seems like his temperament is perfect for an expansion team. He seems like he has communicated his expectations to his team, and they are listening. And I just want to know how important it is for a head coach to have the right formula, you know, especially with an expansion team.
Yeah, I think your temperament, what you spoke about right there, is spot on. And I was really in tune with that this last Saturday when they were away at RSL. I thought, you know, when moments got tense, he seemed very calm, cool, and collected. He doesn't seem like he gets too high and gets too low. And I think that's what you need, especially for a first-time franchise. You know, you don't want your manager, you know, feeling like there's a lot of urgency in the team, and you don't want your manager getting too down in low moments. So I think his temperament is perfect for a new franchise. And, you know, I think this is really his biggest job. I know he was the caretaker manager for the U.S. national team for a few games, but I think in terms of his managerial career, this is a massive step for him. And I think he's handling it really well. He came in and had a true identity on, hey, I want to play a pressing style of football, and I want us to be in possession of the ball, but I don't want to just keep the ball just to have a lot of passes throughout a game. I want to play forward fast. And he's gotten his team. I think a good manager gets a team to buy into his vision. And through three games, I know it's very early in the season, but this San Diego team is 100% bought into what he's trying to do. And I think I would say that that's a very healthy sign for a new franchise.
Chris, let's play things forward a little bit. A match against Columbus coming up later in the week as San Diego FC goes back on the road. Columbus off to a good start, sitting in third place in the Eastern Conference, 7 points so far, so just like SDFC in that sense. Can you preview what Columbus is, who they have, the stars for Columbus, and what they've done so far this year well?
Yeah. So Columbus over the last two or three years has been a very good team. They won the MLS Cup a couple years ago. And they're a team under Diego Rossi. He's really their guy that's leading them. They're kind of searching for a bit of new identity. They lost They lost their main goal scorer last year, but Diego Rossi is a player that had a lot of success at LAFC and has had a lot of success for the Columbus Crew as of recently. And so under they've been under Wilfred Nancy for the last 3 or 4 years, and he's done a fantastic job there. And it's a very storied franchise in the MLS, and one that has seen a lot of success recently. And so it's going to be this is going to be by far, I would say, you know, knowing what we know now, I think the LA Galaxy wasn't the toughest test for San Diego because of the fact that LA Galaxy is really struggling right now and struggled from the get. I think this is going to be by far San Diego's toughest test. So it'll be interesting to see how they do on the road.
Talking to former MLS player Chris Weehan here on 97.3 The Fan, and I just wanted to find out a little bit more about you, Chris. What were you? What teams did you play for in the MLS, and what was your specialty?
Yeah, so I played for the San Jose Earthquakes in the MLS. Actually, played alongside Anibal Godoy, so we were teammates there. So it's been fun to see him continue on his career, but spent a lot of years in the USL, the second division, San Diego Loyal, played against San Diego Loyal a number of times. If some soccer fans are familiar with them, were San Diego's USL franchise. But I was an attacking midfielder. I was played very similar to Luca De La Torre, so tried to get in front of goal as much as I could. And I would say my specialty was set pieces. So that was something that I took a lot of pride in, hitting set pieces, free kicks. From around the box as well.
You know, that's one thing that I don't think people really realize. And when I went to the game, the opener a couple weeks ago, I realized that, I mean, soccer is actually a very, very physical sport, and especially down when you're doing the corner kicks and things like that. So, how do you train yourself to be taking those hits? Because you're not wearing pads outside of, like, shin guards. But you guys are really getting at it near the goal.
Yeah, it's a, you know, I think soccer, as people are learning the sport, it's physically taxing. You know, obviously you're running 5, 6, 7 miles in 90 minutes chasing a little ball around. but at the same time, there's a lot of moments of physical battles, whether it's slide tackles or, you know, yeah, just like you said, wrestling in the box, trying to defending is hard when you're trying to defend a corner, defend a free kick. You have to get physical with the opponent. You can't let them break free and find free moments to get in the air and get a header. But yeah, there's so many moments throughout a game that are physical battles. And yeah, you got, you know, the shin guards these days are maybe 4 inches long. That's about all your protection is.
Oh, so man.
It's a physically brutal sport.
Do they still, last really weird question from me, but do they still make you like kick your shin guards before you play to make sure you have them?
No, they don't make you kick the shin guards. That's a great question, but they will, you know, there is, the referees do go through, they do a thorough check before the game, where when the players are lined up in the tunnel about to walk on the field, it's typically when they'll do it and they'll come through and, you know, if they feel like a player's not wearing the proper equipment, they will say something. And so these teams are prepared. The training staff has plenty of shin guards and things ready to go in case a player gets called out for maybe wearing too small of shin guards. But trust me, players are trying to do that all the time.
It's like the NFL players who don't wear knee pads. I don't understand why they don't wear knee pads playing football. I mean, it would hurt to get kicked in the shin if you're trying to use, like, small shin guards.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You should see, I mean, I've seen players, they'll get a pair of shin guards and they'll cut them in half. Because the less equipment, maybe it's just more comfortable. I don't know, maybe it's just a weird mental thing.
All right, well, those are the weird questions that I ask, but thank you for entertaining them, Chris. Appreciate your time here on 97.3 The Fan. Hope to have you on again soon.
Yeah, look forward to chatting with you guys again. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you, Chris. That was Chris Weehan, former MLS player and USL player here on 97.3 The Fan.
Good job, Scrabe.
Thanks.
How about you do a little research before the guy comes on? You know, maybe tell us where he played.
No, I already knew that. I was allowing him to tell his own story. I looked it up earlier,
sure,
Sam.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have this whole sheet here, and it has all this information, but I didn't look up about the guy who's coming on the show. It was just easier for me.
And then you're like, do they still kick people in the shins to make sure? These are professional soccer players. Lionel Messi plays in this league.
Guess what? Oh, I don't know. I mean, who cares? The NFL still checks to make sure guys are wearing the right stuff. So I felt like that was an amazing question. I think that there's a lot of people out there right now saying, thank you, Scraby, for asking that question. It was the only thing I was wondering throughout that entire interview, and I appreciate you. I also learned something, too, about this interview. It's not head coach, it's manager. So I listened to pick up on the lingo, and it's not head coach, it's manager.
Yeah. Another thing you should have looked up.
Sam didn't even read the document before he got here, so I don't know what he's talking about.
You're like usually the one person or two people like per baseball season that will show up and then say to the manager during a press conference, "Coach, can you tell us?"
I am not that guy. No. And if I
like coach, and we're all standing there like.
Does Mike?
It would be
Schilt,
so easy for this manager to call you out right now.
Does Mike Schilt give him the eye?
No.
No?
I don't think Mike Schilt nor Bob Melvin when it was Bob. I don't think I ever saw them react to that. I think all of us react to it more so.
Yeah, it is kind of awkward and funny at the same time when you're like, uh-oh, they said.
But coach. I also could understand if you are a journalist who covers other sports that it may just like come second nature or it may slip out. I'll correct myself if I said coach. I will say I have before, like in a baseball setting, it slipped out and I say inside the locker room. And of course in baseball we don't really say locker room. It is a locker room. We say clubhouse, right? Kind of sounds weird when you say locker room. So I've done that before.
You know, that's something I've been meaning to talk to you about for years, is your use of the word locker room instead of clubhouse. So I'm glad you brought it up. Glad you brought it up, Sam. You come at me, I'm going to come
this
at you.
This sarcasm
you come at me,
only goes,
I'm come at you.
It only goes one way, and it's only entertaining one way.
Yeah, I know, because it's more like spite for me. It's not sarcasm. NFL Talk, next. 97.3 The Fan.